Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, and we'll be glad to address your question or offer direction for the difficult, frustrating issues of real life. Call now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. The full number, 844-322-2742. Either way, it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are talking about this new covenant that we live in today. That's not an often preached subject. It's not something that we talk about in normal conversation, but it is the heart and soul of the gospel, this new covenant. Jesus sat there with his disciples, the Last Supper. We all have envisioned this 100 times. And he raises the cup and he says, this is the cup of the new covenant. He was very specific about that. He didn't have to use the word new, but in reality he did, because that's exactly what he was ushering in, a brand new covenant, a covenant that is superior, that is better, that is built on better promises, that he is the mediator of, that Jesus himself serves as our high priest. Everything about this new covenant is better than what was there for the people of Israel in the old covenant. And it's something that we really need to embrace. That's what makes the gospel good news. I mean, that's what the gospel is. It is good news for you and me. And we see what this good news is all about in the new covenant. Ran across this quote today by a guy named N.T. Wright, or Tom Wright. N.T. Wright is a prolific writer. He's an Anglican priest. He comes to the United States quite often and lectures at various places. He's written, I think, a gazillion books, if not more than that. But he said this, the Christian faith in its earliest forms is presented as good news. It was presented as good news. That is the original meaning of the old English word gospel. He says, I am arguing that the idea of seeing the Christian faith as news that is good is itself, ironically, news to many people today. We hear the word gospel, but we don't relate it to good news. We think of it in terms of stodginess and darkness and religious bondage and rules and regulations. That's not the gospel. And if that's what you believe concerning the gospel, you've missed it. The gospel is about Jesus. It's about something he's already accomplished on our behalf. And as a result of his grand achievement, we experience all the blessings, all the benefits of his life being lived out in us. That's new covenant.
Yeah.
That's what the gospel is all about. Love to talk about it with you on today's broadcast.
You can do that by calling right now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now. We'd love to hear from you on this Monday edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and again, my name is Bob Davis. Guys, a question that came in from Mike today, actually came in on Friday, first chance we've had to address it. He lives in Louisville and listens to our great affiliate there, and says, I was watching a call-in show the other night where people asked questions to a priest. Someone was saying that not everything Jesus says in the Bible is exactly what he said word for word, and that these things he said got misinterpreted as the stories were passed on and written down in the early years. Priest gave a lengthy response with some excellent and relevant points, but I never heard or missed him say, first and foremost, that the Bible is written and recorded, the written and recorded Word of God. I'm not questioning any of his answers, or faith for that matter, but wanted to be sure I understood that correctly about the Bible. I always thought that there was a line in the Bible that specifically said something about there was the Word and the Word was God or with God, obviously a reference to chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. He says, is that right? And wouldn't that be the simplest way to answer someone that has doubts about the credibility of the Bible and how it was transcribed exactly as God wanted, with nothing left out?
Great question. And that's one of the big issues among skeptics today. Is the Word of God genuine? Can we really trust it as authoritative in our lives? And there's some interesting facts about the Bible as we know it today. The original letters, for example, the letter that Paul penned and sent to the folks at Galatia or to the folks at Philippi. Those don't exist anymore, no. Do they, Richard?
No.
What happened to them?
They were just lost over, I mean, you have to realize what they were writing on, you know, skins or papyrus or various things, so that they didn't have ways of storing things. Today we digitize everything and put it in a computer. Well, they didn't have that. And so he would send it to some local area, some church. They would read it. Somebody would be the keeper of the letter, probably the local elder who was in charge of a few of the house churches. And over time, it just deteriorated, just like things did, or it was lost because of a fire or a battle or an earthquake or something that affected those areas. And so what one of the things they did
was, how did they back it up?
They copied it by hand. Every time they wanted to move it from one place to another and keep an original, they would copy it. And then they would copy the copy, and they would copy the copy. And so, you know, an honest way of saying it is, yes, errors crept in because of copying errors. But to take that statement and then turn it to, well, therefore we can't assume that there's anything trustworthy here, is to completely overstate the case. We realize for many of the ancient writers, Plato and Aristotle and those kind of people, there's not a single original thing that they wrote either.
No.
And we understand the nature of copying and all that, and yet most of the people who study literature and all of that are absolutely convinced that what we've got is a true enough representation of Plato and Aristotle and the rest to be trustworthy. Well, why don't we apply the same rules to the Bible, which, by the way, has far more bits and pieces and complete manuscripts than any other book of antiquity.
Yes, indeed. So, and then there's the case of translation. So
yes.
We have the original and then the manuscript. So the languages of those would have been Hebrew, Aramaic, and
Greek.
And Greek.
Yeah.
So those were the original languages. And then as you know, the word of God starts to spread, people want to hear and read it in their own language. So translations happen. And so groups of Bible translators, biblical scholars, would gather together and say, okay, we understand the word that's being used here. What's the equivalent in this language?
Mm-hmm.
So there's different translations, different types of translations. There's word for word. The New American Standard would be a word for word equivalent, or as close to it,
yes,
as it possibly can. And then there's a thought for thought type of thing. So say, okay, we can't accurately translate word to word, because the meaning in Hebrew or in Greek is richer and more than what one single word,
yes,
in English, for example, could communicate. So they go to, you know, a thought for thought and really convey what's there. So that's what we get in these translations. So the word of God, when Jesus, for example, said, you know, if you you know, are my disciples and hear what I'm saying, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is Jesus. The
yes.
Word of God points us to Jesus. And for us to really understand truth, we need spiritual revelation. So we have these words on the page.
Yes.
And what we have, you know, I have an NIV version in front of me. I have a New Living Translation version in front of me. I have an iPad that has like 10 different versions, the King James Version, the New King James Version.
Man,
so I have
all the bases.
I have access to all of those.
Yeah.
But for me to really understand what those words are saying and what they really mean, I have to rely on the Spirit of God to teach me truth. And that's what is going to hold us together. Folks try to rally around a certain translation. There's the NIVers, there's the King Jamesers, there's the New Living Translation folks, and there's, you know, all of these folks who say this is the best translation. What we need to rally around is the Spirit of God taking the things of the Lord Jesus out of these Bibles and making those truths known to us, and that's the truth that's going to set us free.
And that's the real issue with the skeptics. A skeptic wants to say, I want to understand this on my own terms, in my own way, and the Spirit says, no, you can't do that. And there's the argument. Are you going to trust God and walk by faith, or are you going to force it to fit your own mold?
Yeah. Friends, if you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love for you to do just exactly that. The lines are wide open right now at 844-32-BASIC, 844-322-2742. And as I said, the lines are open, and that's why we're here live, so that you can be a part of the conversation at Basic Gospel. Another question that came in by email, if someone walks away from the Holy Spirit, can they ever be forgiven?
Well, if you mean in terms of walking away from the Holy Spirit, rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ, that really is the unpardonable sin. But as long as somebody has breath and you know, opportunity to receive, there's opportunity to receive. There are people who are very adamantly opposed to anything religious. There are the new atheists out there who are trying to promote their way of thinking that God doesn't exist. And so they deny Jesus, they deny the gospel, they deny the word of God, they deny the existence of God. So they're holding their fist up toward God that they don't believe exists and saying, we're doing it our own way. So that's a rejection of the gospel. And why that's a rejection of the Holy Spirit is because the Holy Spirit's job is to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to us. The Holy Spirit is never bringing glory to himself. The Holy Spirit is never bringing, putting himself front and center. He is always putting Jesus, lifting up Jesus, the one who died to take away our sins, the one who was buried, and on the third day was raised back to life so that you and I can have life. So when we reject the Holy Spirit, what we're really rejecting is the good news about Jesus.
Yeah. On the other side of this equation, if you are a child of God, if you have accepted Jesus and are saved, born again, you have the Spirit. There is no going away from that.
Right.
None. You might go through some really terrible time, you know, death of a child or somebody hurt you at church, or, you know, there's a lot of things that happen that are horrible. And for a while, you just kind of say, God, I can't take this. God says, well, that's okay because I can. And wherever I wander off, God goes with me. And he's there prompting me so that at one of those points I go, you know, maybe I shouldn't have walked away. He says, I know, I'm right here with you. Let's reason together. And he brings us back to where we need to be.
Yeah, so bottom line, if you're a believer, it is impossible for you to commit the unpardonable sin.
Correct.
Totally impossible. God has seen fit to put his Spirit into your heart. And he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are a believer forever. Once you go from death to life, once you've been born again of the Spirit and have entered into the kingdom of God, you are there forever.
Yes.
So if you ever have that thought, I wonder if I've committed the unpardonable sin, just simply ask the question, have I received Christ? Yes, I have. I'm a believer. It's impossible for me to commit the unpardonable sin. That's good news.
That is good news, and that's basic, everybody. Hey, we're going to go to Boulder, Colorado, and talk to Michael in just a moment, but friends, if you've ever wondered if Jesus has any relevance in your life, if he cares about you personally, your marriage, your family, your vocation, well, these are things we're going to be talking about in the Hear, Believe, and Live tour beginning March 7th at Valley Church in Vacaville, California. Information and registration is available online from the Events tab at basicgospel.net, and we hope that you'll take advantage of early registration. You can make your life a good news story. Again, information available from events at basicgospel.net. That's coming up March 7th at Valley Church in Vacaville, California. The Basic Gospel radio team will be there. We hope you will be too.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's do go to Boulder, Colorado, and talk to Michael listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Michael.
Hello. Hey, I would like to read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, and then ask you all a couple questions.
Okay.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. My first question is, based on what I just read, would you agree that repentance from dead works is a foundation of the doctrine of Christ?
Part of it, yes, absolutely.
What part is not?
Well, you ask, is that a part of, and I just answered yes. So I'm turning away from my old way of life, that life that was fueled by a heart of unbelief. That's how we enter into this world. We're unbelievers. So part of this repentance, this faith that's all in the conversion process is a turning away from the old and a turning toward the new that's in Christ Jesus. Once I've done that, I've done that. Now it's just growing in who I am in Christ, growing in this grace that I have in Christ, growing in the knowledge of Christ that is imparted to me by the Holy Spirit. We don't want to keep going back to the beginning stages. We've already experienced new birth. It's time to grow up. That's what this writer is saying.
My second question to you is, because as I read it, repentance from dead works is a foundation to the doctrine of Christ. My second question is, last week I listened to y'all lead a couple people in what you term a prayer of salvation unto Christ, but I never heard you lead them through repentance for their dead works. Can you answer that for me?
Well, Michael, the whole idea of somebody coming to faith, they've already are in that process of turning away from unbelief to belief. That whole thing is repentance and faith that is fueled by grace. It is a by grace through faith model that God has brought into being. Well, what's included in faith? Well, the first part of that is saying, hey, I've had enough of this old way of life. I'm sick and tired. I mean, it's just brought me nothing but misery, nothing but despair, nothing but emptiness. I'm ready to embrace something else. So that's part of this faith that is a response to the grace of God that's been given to us. There's not a formula, and there's way too many people who say you have to do this, 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 and this. When I first came to Christ, I didn't even know the word repentance. Had no idea what that was. I just was presented Jesus and the fact that he died to take away my sins and then was raised again. At that point, I knew I needed Jesus. That's all I knew. It was much later that I learned about repentance. But that very day at that youth camp when the gospel hit my heart, repentance was in play. Something was going on inside. So when somebody comes to Christ, they're saying, hey, I want to receive, they've already demonstrated a repentant heart.
Yeah, the very act of coming to Jesus is an act of repentance.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Michael, I hope that helps. We sure appreciate your call.
Yes, indeed.
Let's go to Caesar in Manhattan listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Caesar.
Hi. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
It's a privilege to be here. I just had trouble understanding this, which was, what's the need of new Bibles constantly every year when there was, I don't see anything wrong with the King James, you know? And I have the NIV. Now, I saw big differences after a while, after I was reading, and I saw a lot of main doctrines that were missing from it, and it's now like the best.
Well, there's not any. There's not any main doctrines that are missing. Why the constant push for more translations is simply this: because as archaeologists continue to dig and to find new pieces of evidence, new documents, for example, and as they examine those documents, they find out that those documents are actually dated much closer to the times of Christ and the apostles. And so they're looking at those things and comparing it to manuscripts that are dated 1,000 years AD or something like that. And they're just making comparisons, and based on current findings, they say, well, let's put a translation out there that incorporates what archaeologists are now finding. So that's why there's a push for more translations. I mean, the King James Version, when King James commissioned that, what was available was very limited. Much of that translation was based on the Latin Vulgate. Not all of it, but some of it.
Right, it came from the Textus Receptus.
Yes.
From Erasmus, pretty much. But what I say is main doctrine, meaning, like, for example, Acts 8:37, you will not find it in the NIV. And
the reason you won't find it in the NIV is that it's not in the original. It's not in manuscripts dated closer to the time of Christ. And whenever that happens, the NIV is usually really good about making a footnote, and it tells you exactly why. So in the footnote, in my NIV, it says some late manuscripts include this. Yeah. Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart."
Right.
So
right.
It's
and
that's
the main doctrine of believing in Jesus Christ. No, whoever confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in their heart that He died for our sins and God rose Him from the dead.
Well, Caesar, you just quoted a verse that is there in the Bible. So I mean. Just realize that they're not trying to rewrite the doctrines of the Christian faith. They're simply saying, hey, as we examine the earlier manuscripts, the manuscripts dated closer to the actual times of Jesus and the apostles, they saw that in those manuscripts, verse 37, and back in, you know, in those manuscripts, there are no chapters and verses. But this phrase was not in there. So at some point it was added later on. There are several places in the New Testament that are like that. For example, John 7:53 through John 8:11. That story about the adulteress was not in the original manuscripts or those earlier manuscripts. So they bracket that and they say, this was not in there, but they include it just like they did here. So the argument is not a good one. Why? Because I think the translators show exactly what they did. So you don't have to say, hey, why are they robbing us of this doctrine? No, they put it right there in the footnotes and explain why it's there.
And the vast majority of new translations are created specifically to reach people who have never heard the Word of God in their own languages.
Yes.
That's the number one reason for
yes,
the
indeed.
Translations.
Well, guys, we're getting close to the end of the broadcast already. Man, time flies when you're having fun, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Friends, if Basic Gospel has made a difference in your life, you can probably say a prayer of thanksgiving to God for moving in the hearts and lives of others who made it possible for you to hear the good news of the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ. It's true. Someone else gave to support Basic Gospel so that you could hear. Now that you've heard, we ask you to please prayerfully consider what our Lord would have you do to support this message so that others too can hear. Join us today if you can, friends. You'll find a support link in the menu at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. And may God richly bless and multiply your gift to Basic Gospel. I want to remind you once again to visit the website, basicgospel.net, and click the events section, the events in the menu, and you'll find information on our upcoming tour beginning on March 7th in Vacaville, California at Valley Church. It's going to be a great time with Bob and Richard and me, and we hope that you'll come and meet the Basic Gospel Radio team. Again, that's events at basicgospel.net for the conference coming up on March 7th. Well, we're out of time for this one, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us then. Bye-bye.